Hello and welcome to The Social Athlete, a podcast exploring the upper limits of social fitness. I am your host, Casey Wright. That feels very weird to say, but we will push past it. Today's show is going to be a little different than any other show. We're going to be defining the point of this project and answer a few key questions that I think any podcaster should answer before they ask an audience to spend time with them. Put simply, today is going to be my attempt at convincing you that this is not going to be a waste of your time. Or I guess I should say this is going to be an attempt to help you identify if you're the type of person who will not consider this a waste of time. Maybe that's a better stated goal. Because the truth is, I don't think this is for everyone. But I do think by the end of the show, you'll have a pretty clear idea if you're somebody who's going to enjoy and want to be a part of what we're doing here, or if this is not for you. So first, I think some key terminology to anchor what we're doing here is going to be crucial. I want to start by just defining what we mean by social athlete. Now, the simple definition, although the very unhelpful definition for this, is that a social athlete is just somebody who's proficient at social fitness. Now, that, of course, just begs the question, well, what do we mean by social fitness? Fortunately, here, we do have a definition that we can pull from the social psychology literature that can anchor this conversation. So here's the definition I found. Social fitness is the ability to engage in productive, personal, and professional relationships, positively interact with unit and command networks, and use resources that promote overall well-being. So a little bit of a mouthful. I think we can pare this down to something that's a little more workable that preserves the original meaning and intention. And this is the definition we'll really be working with throughout this show. And so the one I came up with is social fitness is the ability to create, strengthen, and make strategic use of relationship in one's environment to promote overall well-being. So a social athlete is basically somebody who has an elite ability to create, strengthen, and make strategic use of those relationships. So that really suggests that there's three planes of development. And I think broadly speaking, that's going to be true, that there will be tons of micro skills contained within social athleticism. But broadly speaking, we will be developing on these three planes of development, learning how to create relationships more effectively, learning how to strengthen relationships more effectively, and learning how to make strategic use of the relationships in our environment to promote overall well-being, not just for ourselves, but for the people that we care about and for the people in our environment. Now, one of the things that I find really exciting about this is that I don't see any evidence that there's an upper limit to any of these individual skills, or for that matter, the total social athleticism or social fitness that somebody can acquire or achieve. And this is something I'm really excited about, because I really do think that this is something like wealth, you know, where there's no upper boundary to wealth. You can always accumulate more wealth. And I think that social fitness is going to be similar, that there's always another level. And that, to me, is really exciting. This project will never really be complete. So the first big question I want to answer that I think really any podcast host should answer before they ask an audience to spend time with them once a week, as I'm going to be asking you to do, is what's the point of this? What is the point of this show? So put simply, there is no place that I know of for the elite development of social skills. And to be clear, there's plenty of stuff out there on social fitness. And I think one of the things I should do in an upcoming episode here is just compile some of the best resources that are already out there, because there really are a ton of great resources on social fitness. If you want to go from somebody who is not socially fit, somebody who feels socially isolated, somebody who feels like you're not receiving the social support that you need in your life, and you want to go to somebody who does feel like you're connected and has good relationships and good friendships, there's a lot of material to help you do that. But I haven't found anything that really takes you too far beyond that. I think maybe the best way to explain this is to consider a thought experiment. You know, if you were going to a new community, let's say you're moving to a new city or going to a new company or starting at a new school, and you wanted to make a few new friends, well, there's a lot of material that can help you do that. A lot of well-validated research that suggests the best way to connect and make a few new friendships in a new area. But if you wanted to become the most popular person in that community within 6 weeks, well, there's not really an established playbook for that. But I know you can do it. I've seen people do it. And that, to me, suggests that there is a level of social fitness that can be acquired, that can be achieved, and can be understood, and can be learned. And that's what I want to explore here. In a lot of ways, I kind of feel like we're looking at a 100-story building that only has an elevator that goes to the 10th floor. We know we can get higher, but we're not entirely sure how. And that's what we're going to be exploring really throughout this show. Now, to be clear, I think there's a really good reason why this show doesn't exist yet. Why there's no show that's really exploring the upper boundaries of social fitness. And it's a good reason, it's an important reason, I think it's one we should highlight here, because understanding this reason is probably the most important part of understanding whether or not you are the intended audience for this show. And the main thing that I want to get across here is that the development of elite skills is not always linear, which is to say that developing an elite skill doesn't always follow the same linear track as developing a common skill. I'll give you an example. If you want to become a Formula One race car driver, pretty much the first thing you need to do is forget everything you know about driving safely on a highway. The rules are just completely different. Nothing that you learned in your basic driver's training is going to prepare you to race on a Formula One racetrack. I'll give you another example. If you want to just have a good amount of wealth in retirement, there's some pretty good playbook for that, right? You know, spend less than you make, put it in diversified savings and investments, and let time do its thing. But if you want to achieve an Elon Musk level of wealth, you pretty much need to do the exact opposite. You need to bet all of your money on a once-in-a-generation technology and hope that it explodes. Now, that is a completely different playbook. It's not just an extension of the original playbook. It's a complete contradiction of the original playbook. And if you really think about it for a second, and you think about the logic of launching a podcast that showed you how to create wealth the way Elon Musk did, the net effect of that for most people would be that they would lose all of their money. It would be an exceedingly dangerous podcast. And I think we might find some of the same danger exists here with this podcast. Let me give you a quick example that is specific to social interactions. So for 98% of people, the tip to just make more direct eye contact in your conversations would probably be a very helpful tip, and it will lead to better social interactions if you do that. But the research on eye contact is actually a bit more nuanced than that. Here are a few tips that experts recommend if you really want to optimize your eye contact. First of all, they have something they call the 50-70 rule. This basically means that you should make roughly 50% eye contact when you're speaking and 70% eye contact when somebody else is speaking. In other words, you make more eye contact when the other person is speaking than when you're speaking. Next, they generally advise the 4 to 5 second rule, which is to say that you shouldn't keep direct eye contact for more than 4 to 5 seconds, as it tends to make people feel uncomfortable. When you are going to break eye contact, they recommend that you do it slowly and gently. Oftentimes, they recommend that you initiate this with some type of a gesture, like a nod or a laugh or shifting your stance. Finally, experts recommend that you use an inverted triangle approach. So you let your eyes gently rest on the left eye, the right eye, and then the mouth, and kind of let it bounce around slowly throughout the interaction, breaking eye contact every 4 to 5 seconds. That's the actual nuanced information on how to do the best eye contact in a social interaction. Now, if you think about those two batches of information, one, just try to make more direct eye contact. That's pretty easy to remember. That's something you can probably accomplish. Then you think about the laundry list of stuff I just gave you. What are the chances that you could go into a social interaction and actually be able to focus on doing all of those while also having a natural conversation? The net effect, at least early on, is probably that it's going to make your social interactions worse. You're going to be stuck in your head. You're going to be asking yourself, wait, is this 50%, 70%? Did I just look for 4 to 5 seconds? Wait, am I using the inverted triangle correctly? It's going to put you in your head. You're going to start overanalyzing something that comes natural and easy to just about everybody else. There's sort of this uncanny valley where before it gets better, it gets worse. And it can get better. You can come through on the other side. There are people who have done the work of coming through on the other side and can actually naturally employ the type of eye contact that I just described. But it takes a lot of work. So that, I think, is what I'm trying to identify here. If you're not willing to put in that work, if you're not willing to go through that uncanny valley to arrive at something that's just marginally better on the other side, because that's the truth. I mean, the eye contact that I just described, it's not going to make your social interactions 100 times better. It's going to make them like 20% better, and it's going to be 10 times harder to do. So that's one of the things that we're going to find out here, is that to try and get to the elite skill, a lot of times you have to put in a lot more work for a much more marginal return. Most people aren't willing to do that work, and I fully understand that. So if you're listening to this and you're saying, look, the idea of spending an hour breaking down eye contact and or the art of a perfect handshake or the intergenerational meaning of emojis, that sounds like an absolute waste of time to me. well, then you can probably stop listening now. This podcast is not going to be for you. If, on the other hand, when you heard me describing those topics, you said, wow, that sounds interesting. I'd love to learn more about that. Well, then you're in the right place. And that brings us to the next question. Who is this podcast for? I think we started to allude to that in the last question, but I want to be very explicit about this. This is for the psychopaths like me, the people who really want to invest an inordinate amount of time getting small, marginal returns on social athleticism. That's who this is for. So if spending an hour on some of the topics we just described sounds interesting to you, you are in the right place. And to be clear, I know this isn't for everyone, because I also know that this will get ugly at times. There will be times where a lot of the stuff we're learning is not going to look so good until we come through on the other side. And we're just going to need to be patient with that. And if that mission doesn't sound worthwhile to you, I fully understand. I think you're probably much more sane. But if you are a psychopath like me, you're in the right place and you finally found a home where we can actually talk about this stuff. So I guess really what this podcast is me kind of sending out the bat signal for other psychopaths, other people who really want to dig deep into this. I really believe that if we can get 100 people just like me who obsess over this stuff inordinately and are willing to share freely what's working and what's not, I think we can really break some new ground. I think we can explore new frontiers of social athleticism that have previously been completely unimagined, and I'm really excited about that possibility. I really don't think it'll take more than 100 people in a few months, and I think we will get something really special here. That is what I'm trying to do here. But obviously, it's very much dependent on you. So I'm kind of counting on you for this thing to work. All right, so next question, what happens next? The goal, quite simply, is just going to be a weekly podcast every Friday. This is designed to be interactive, so there's going to be things you can try and things you can use pretty much every single week, this week accepted. This is just kind of the general manifesto of what we're doing here. But starting on the next podcast, I'm going to put tools and tips in your hands that you can use every single week. My goal is that the real learning and development of the show takes place in between episodes. That this is really just a starting point for what we want to do throughout the week, and that we should come back to each podcast a little smarter, a little sharper, and with a little firmer understanding of what really works in social interactions. Now, I'm also going to be supplementing this with a weekly newsletter, just an e-newsletter that will basically recap all of the main takeaways in a textual format. It'll also have a link list to any research, books, tools that we've discussed in the week or during the show for that week. And the idea here is that I just want to make it very easy for people to follow along. My kind of what I'm envisioning how this would work in a perfect world is that the podcast lands wherever you listen podcasts on Friday morning. And at that same time, you're getting a newsletter that has all the show notes, takeaways, so you can really follow along in real time and be as engaged with that week as you'd like to be. So that's kind of the main goal. If you want to get the newsletter, you can just go to socialathlete.media. You'll also see that link in the show notes wherever you're listening to the podcast. And you'll see a big subscribe link right there. And then that'll just send you a weekly e-newsletter that just has all the show notes and links to what we're talking about here. All right, so next question, how can you help? A lot of you have asked me that I've been speaking with over the past several days and weeks about this project. You've asked, hey, how can I help? How can I be a part of this? And the obvious stuff helps, right? Subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff helps. You guys know how this digital marketing game works. The more energy we can create on this feed, the more people will find us, and the bigger this thing can get. So I love all of that. But I want to be clear that what I want more than anything are your psychopaths. Send me your psychos. If you've listened to the show and you go, I know someone like that. I know somebody who obsesses over this stuff and would be interested in this project. Send them here. Let's get the right people here. I think that's really the most important thing is getting, like I say, 100 of the right people here. I think we really can do some magical stuff. All right, so I guess that's it for this week. I want to thank you for taking the time to let me explain this new passion with you. I'm really excited to see where this takes us. I promise you this first episode will be the worst episode. My goal is to get better every week. I'm counting on you to help me do that. Please give me your feedback. Whatever feedback you have, I really want it. You won't hurt my feelings. The only way I'm going to get better at this is if you help me. So please tell me what's working, what's not. Everything from word choices you don't like. I don't like the theme music. I wish you were talking more about this. I wish you'd talk less about this. All of that is useful. It really is. I want it all. So next week, we're going to really start to have some fun. We're going to dig into some real practical tools. And I think you guys will start to see, I'm hoping, you'll really start to see the value of what we're doing here. Thank you so much. I'll see you again next week.